We're watching the latest parade of interviews taking place at Trump Tower today in Manhattan as Donald Trump's administration begins to take shape. He's already appointed retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn as his national security advisor, and there's speculation that retired Marine General James Mattis is a top contender for Secretary of Defense. Trump had high praise for Mattis after the two met yesterday.
He's just a brilliant, wonderful man. What a career, and we're going to see what happens, but he is the real deal.
Fighting the Islamic State will be at the top of the agenda for whoever gets the job. Seth Jones is director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. His new book is Waging Insurgent Warfare, Lessons from the Viet Cong to the Islamic State. Seth, welcome back.
It's great to be on. Thanks, Peter.
Sure. So what do we know about General Mattis and his reputation?
Well, General Mattis has had strategic and operational experience on several battlefields, from Iraq to Afghanistan to holding the very senior positions within the U.S. military. He is widely known and respected as a strategic thinker with, again, with vast experience in fighting both insurgent groups, but also historically understanding the political nature of warfare, not just the military.
Is he equally respected by Democrats as well?
From my experience, he's respected virtually by everybody, both Republicans and Democrats. Everybody has their detractors, but his experience both in Washington but also around the world in multiple deployments means that he's got a pretty well-respected group of supporters, I think, across the board in Washington.
Oh, there's also Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who has been named National Security Advisor by Trump. Now, Flynn is a more controversial figure. He's called Islam a cancer. What do you make of Michael Flynn? Does his appointment tell you anything about the way that a Trump administration will treat policy in the Middle East and specifically with ISIS?
General Flynn has had experience in places like Afghanistan. He worked as a senior intelligence officer for NATO ISAF in Afghanistan under General McChrystal. He's had a lot of experience dealing with al-Qaeda and the Taliban. He's written about combating these kinds of groups, including ISIS. So I think one thing it does tell us is that he and several members around Donald Trump will focus on this kind of warfare. There's been a shift a little bit towards dealing with the Chinese and the Russians in the latter part of the Obama administration. I think the next administration will, among other things, focus on ISIS.
Well, I'm looking at what's happening with the efforts in Mosul right now in Iraq, trying to get ISIS out of that stronghold. When you have someone like Michael Flynn sitting at the right hand of Donald Trump advising on national security, I mean, do you see him taking a different path than the Obama administration is in Iraq?
Well, look, I think it's unclear right now. Most of the policy has not been established for a new administration. They'll probably wait till they take over in January to actually make decisions. Between now and then, I think the issue is to better understand the conflicts and to start making and looking at options for how to deal with ISIS in Iraq and Syria. I think Iraq's a bit of an easier case. I suspect that based on the fact that ISIS has lost territory, not just in Mosul, but in Anbar province, the focus will be on pushing them out. I think the more serious issue and the harder one will be what to do in Syria.
Okay, let's talk about that. And this will bring us back to your book. You write that there's been about 200 or so insurgencies since World War II. And of course, we are today most interested in this fight against ISIS. But what is the state of ISIS right now? Is it on the run when you consider what's happening in Mosul? You say maybe the situation in Raqqa or Syria is a little bit different. But what is the state of the ISIS insurgency right now?
I would say there are two sides of answering this question. The first is that ISIS is an insurgent group in that it needs to control territory. And on that front, it has lost ground in virtually everywhere that has a footprint. It's lost ground in Iraq. It's lost more than 50% of the territory it controlled at its peak in 2014. It's lost control of territory in Syria. It's lost it in Libya, where it had a footprint in places like Sirte. It's lost it in Afghanistan. It's lost it in Nigeria. So across the board, it's lost territory. On the other hand, one of the things that ISIS has not done is stopped its attacks, including in the West. So you have these two trends that are, in a sense, pushing against each other, a decline in territorial control, but a pretty significant op-tempo in conducting attacks overseas.
It's fascinating because you write in your book, you know, don't necessarily count ISIS out just because it's losing territory. In fact, they do have options. Often history shows us that when an insurgency is on the run, that it goes and it seeks out sanctuaries to regroup. Do you see that happening here?
Well, I think it's possible. I think ISIS does get a vote in what happens over the long run. And I think what it already looks like it's doing in places like Iraq, so it's lost territory in Mosul, but it has looked for sanctuaries in some of the areas around the Iraq-Syria border. It's pushed some of its fighters into Syria itself. It's discouraged a number of others from coming to Iraq and Syria and focused them on fights in Libya or in Nigeria. Over the long run, I think we have to see this organization as trying to fight on multiple fronts.
Do its tactics change?
If the organization wants to survive over the long run, I think what it has to do is it has to decrease its use of really violent attacks against civilians. That has undermined popular support. One of the things we see in Mosul from interviews with individuals that have come from liberated areas of Mosul and other places in Iraq is they really did not like the massive use of violence against civilians by ISIS. So I think if it has any chance of surviving over the long run, it's got to moderate its targeting of civilians.
Well, what about the long run? Because insurgencies over the last couple of decades can last decades. What does history tell us about that?
Well, history tells us that first and foremost, insurgencies are political, not military. And for an insurgency to persist and even to win over the long run, they need to be able to undermine a government. They need to take advantage of local grievances. These grievances can be economic, they can be ethnic, they can be religious. So one of the things I think that people have to focus on as ISIS continues to lose territory is, are these grievances that have helped ISIS gain sanctuary in places like Iraq or in Syria or in Libya, are these grievances being addressed? And if not, then the question is, will ISIS return? Or will some jihadist group like ISIS be able to fill this vacuum? And one of the things that's causing a little bit of concern for me is where ISIS has lost territory in places like southern Afghanistan, for example, in Helmand and Farah, the vacuum has been filled not by the Afghan government but by the Taliban, which is another violent insurgent group. So the key question in many of these cases is what comes next.
Of the insurgencies that you studied, you write that about 35% of them end with a victory over the government. About 36% of the time, the government will put down the insurgency. And 29% of the time, it just ends in a draw. What does it look like if ISIS wins this fight?
Just the basic version of governance and justice that ISIS holds in areas that they control is antithetical to everything that we hold dear in the United States and the West. So it would be a terrible outcome for them to win in any conceivable way.
But that may be the very thing that makes it harder for them to win, because they can't win over or have a harder time winning over the hearts and minds of the people in the area.
One of the things that ISIS has done and a lesson that it has not learned is that insurgent groups that use what I would call a punishment strategy and punishment tactics, that is targeting civilians, generally don't win. It's one of the strongest findings from looking at 200 insurgent groups since World War II, is punishment is not an effective strategy, and ISIS continues not to learn this lesson. And in a sense, it's a good thing for us, because their use of brutality against civilians undermines the very thing that successful insurgents like Mao, for example, argued, and that is the success for an insurgency is about winning the hearts and minds of the local populations. Mao likens insurgents to fish that need the water, the civilians, to succeed, to breathe, in a sense.
He told his fighters not to steal from civilians and to make the bed before they leave if they're staying in their home.
To treat local civilians with respect, and that is something that ISIS has not done. If you look at the last 200 or so insurgencies, ISIS's inability to win support from areas that they control will almost certainly be its death knell.
Seth Jones, director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND, his new book is Waging Insurgent Warfare: Lessons from the Viet Cong to the Islamic State. Seth, thanks as always.
Thank you very much, Peter.